Leviticus and the chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, and I want to consider with you today the verses 1 through to 9. This portion of Scripture is divided into two parts. In verses 1 to 4, we have the priests and the light. The priests and the light. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And then in verses 5 to 9, we have the priests and the bread. And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And so from this portion of Scripture, we see that God's priests are to be associated with light and with bread. The light and the bread. Now, this portion of Scripture for our edification can be taken in several ways. It, first of all, reminds us of our great high priest, who did not just handle the light, who did not just handle the bread, but who is himself all these things to his people. He is the true light, the light that we need. He is the true bread, the life-giving bread that we need. And you know, whenever John wrote his gospel, he had the tabernacle in his mind when he did so. Because he said that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, tabernacled among us. And among the many things in John's gospel that can be linked to the tabernacle, there are these two things, light and bread. And in John's gospel, Jesus Christ is the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And he's also, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And so Christians have Christ the light, and they have Christ the bread, and they walk in his light, and they feed upon him, upon his body and his blood, and they have everlasting life by so doing. And so our great high priest provides for us the light and the bread. It's a picture of that. It also reminds us of the gospel ministry and what God's people need. Just as the priests were to keep the light burning and the table furnished for the people of God in the sanctuary, so ministers must labor with these things also to feed and to edify the flock and to have something to put upon the table for them. And so they labor with the light, they work with the light, they labor with the loaves and with the bread upon the table, and they labor thus so that they may continue to furnish Not just the table, but that they may continue to furnish the people through the Word. The people of God through the Word. The people of God need to be edified. They need to receive the light of the Word. They need to receive the bread of the Word, that they may be comforted and confirmed and strengthened and grow in grace. And so there is a picture here of gospel ministry and what gospel preachers do. But thirdly, it also reminds us that all Christians who are priests unto God must have the light of the Word, and they must have the knowledge of Christ, and the people of God must be walking in that light. They must be people of light. They must be people who are not walking in darkness, who are not feeding upon unclean things, but they must be feeding upon the Lord, upon the light, upon the bread of the Word. They must be filled with the knowledge of Christ our Saviour, and they must be identified with His glory. And it is to all Christians that I want to apply this passage this morning. I particularly, I suppose, want to have in mind young Christians, boys and girls who maybe are believing in Jesus and just starting out in the Christian life, or maybe others who are older and young in the faith. But to us all, I trust we will benefit this morning from the message and what I have in mind. So I want to apply it to all Christians. And we start with the truth that every Christian is a priest. All Christians are priests to God. In the Old Testament, the priests were a special tribe, a special group of people who were set aside to be priests and minister in the tabernacle. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, every believer in Him has been made a priest. He's made us kings and priests unto God, the Bible says. Peter, he said in his first epistle that you are living stones, you're built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation. So there's a priestly role that the people of God have. And whenever you see the priests in the sanctuary here ministering, there's something here that is for every Christian to learn from and to keep in mind. And as a priest, you remember how the Bible says in the Old Testament, I'll also take of them, that is His people, for priests and for Levites. There will come a time when He'll make all His people priests. And they can come right into the sanctuary themselves. They can come near to God through Christ. They can enter into the most holy place of all, even in Christ and through Christ. And the New Testament church can get very close to God because they are all priests ministering in the holy things and making spiritual offerings unto Him. Remember how the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. It was only the priests that could do that in the Old Testament, but now all the people of God can do that. We can come boldly onto the throne of grace, within the veil even. You are having this great privilege today, people of God. As a Christian, you can go right in, even closer than the priest could go in. And that's why I'm addressing you and reminding you of your privileges. But before I do so, I want to just draw out the contrast here with chapter 23. I want you to feel the contrast with the chapter before that. You remember chapter 23 was about the meetings. Busy chapter, because the meetings are busy. There's activity in chapter 3. There's the calendar for Israel, the diary that they have to keep for their public worship every Sabbath. And then all the special meetings, the corporate assembly coming together. So busy. Full of activity, all public, days of community, days of fellowship, days of corporate worship. And so in chapter 23, there is the picture of all the meetings around the tabernacle. Everything that's taking place at the door of the tabernacle. And all the people of God coming together to sing and to praise And to hear the preaching of the word, it's very busy, very public. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And the people had to come up to Jerusalem and had to travel. They travelled as families. And they require preparation and so many hours of meetings. But in chapter 24, we're moving into the quiet place, into the still place, into the tabernacle itself, away from all the hustle and bustle and all the public activity of chapter 23, of all the people of God around the tabernacle. We're moving into the tabernacle itself, away from the crowded assemblies, away from the congregational praise, away from the public worship, away to be alone with God in the quiet place, in the sanctuary. And so it's a quiet place, and that's the way that I'm taking this today, the still place, away from the meetings, away from the public actions and activities, to be alone with God. Now, we need the meetings. That was the emphasis last week. We need the meetings. We can't do without the meetings. God gives us the meetings. In a sense, the meetings come first. They're before chapter 24. They're important. And the thrust of that sermon on the previous chapter was the meetings. But the thrust of this sermon is not just the need for the meetings, but the need for the quiet place. The quiet place. The secret place. So Christians are priests unto God, and they have also to go into the quiet place, to be alone with God, to get into the pavilion with God, to abide in the secret place, under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. And that's what the priests are doing. And that's where the priests are going in these verses that I set before you today. They're in the pavilion. They're in the secret place. They're in the quiet place. And so you understand then, we're not seeing the public here, we're not seeing the people here, but we're seeing the priests of God alone before God and in His presence. We're seeing them not in the hustle and bustle, at the brazen altar, and all the praise and all the noise and all the community fellowship, and in their service to man, but we're seeing them inside, alone with God. That's what we're seeing this morning. And that's the contrast that struck me this week as I studied this chapter. That was the contrast that stayed with me, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. People of God, you need the quiet place too. The quiet place too. And that's the title of this sermon. The quiet place too. We have to have the meetings. As I say, they're important, but we also have to have the quiet place. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, yes, but neither forsaking the quiet place. And so, you have to draw aside. You have to get into the secret place with God. That's vital too. The meetings are weekly in chapter 23. At the very least, there are special ones occasionally, Sabbath by Sabbath. But, and there are occasional ones in between times, as we saw last week. But the quiet place, what was the word that was continually occurring here in these verses? Continual. Evening to morning. Daily. Continual. And so the quiet place is daily. The lamps are to burn continually. Daily handling them. Daily getting the oil into them. It's from evening on to morning, making sure that it never goes out. And verse 4, the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And verse 8, to set it in order before the Lord continually. continually. A perpetual statute. You need the quiet place too, child of God. And you little ones, you young people, you need to discipline yourselves and to learn early the coming aside to be alone with God and to spend time in quietness between you and the Lord. So they're getting into a lonely place with God. That's what the priests are doing here. They went into the lonely place. And they liked and looked forward to that place, I'm sure. Away from the crowd and away from the motion outside. And so there they are. Silently and reverently here. They weren't talking here, you know. This is a very quiet place. You know, whenever you work together out in the orchard or whatever, you can talk and you can chat and have a good conversation about, you know, everything in life. But you couldn't do that here. This was a sacred place. This was a quiet place. The priests just silently went about their duty and their devotion to God, praying all the while that they were doing their duties so reverently, so quietly. So that's why I call it a quiet place. And it's important that a Christian has a quiet place. Didn't the Lord say, be still? You can't be that outside. You can't be that in the workplace and all the hustle of duty. But there comes a time when you have to be still. Get the quiet place, the place of stillness, and know that I am God. And know me. Stop and be still and get alone and get into the quiet place and know me. That's the thrust of that. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord is in his holy temple and he calls through all the earth to keep silence before him. Everybody should have a quiet time. Every man and woman on the earth should have a period of silence. For God. Remember Jeremiah the prophet said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Not only the hoping and the trusting, but the quiet waiting. Before your living and true God. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself, the psalmist said. As a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. What's he talking about there? Had the feed. He's contented now. He's in the quiet place. There's a stillness. There's a wonderful stillness as a child is alone with the mother. The satisfaction, the contentment, the quietness, and that's something of what we are to experience when we get alone with our God. I have quieted myself. And Isaiah the prophet says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. The Bible says so much about it. That's what God wants for his people. He wants them to be able to have quiet resting places. Away from all the annoyance and away from all the people that are annoying and away from all the temptations that are in the world and be in the quiet. Place of safety, a place of strengthening and refuge. So you have to find, that's what I'm saying to you people of God this morning. Yes, the meetings, come to the meetings, but you also have to find and make such a place for yourself as this. Quiet room, quiet study, quiet chair, a quiet place. Maybe out in the fields and in the meadows, a quiet place. Just you and the Lord. You know, the great high priest himself did this. He's the chief priest. He is the high priest. And he leaves us so many examples in so many, many different areas. And in this area he also left an example. He sent away the multitudes. Oh, he loved to work with the multitudes. There were times when that had to be done, but he loved to send them away too. And went up into a mountain part to pray. And he was there alone, the Bible says. I mean, that's what the Mountain of Transfiguration is all about. That wasn't just a once-off. That was very common for the Lord Jesus. That was a daily thing. Gethsemane was regular whenever he was living in Jerusalem. He went apart alone, daily, as a priest, in the quiet place. You have to do that, child of God. You must make room for that. You must get a place and you must make time. The Lord Jesus says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy door. It's a quiet place. It's a secret place. It's a pavilion where the priest can be alone before his God in his offering. Come, my people, God says. Enter thou into thy chambers. Get into thy rooms. Shut the doors about thee. For a little moment. For a short time. Until all the noise and all the indignation and all the problems pass by. You need it. We all need it. And so you have to find a place, a chamber. You have to make time. You have to discipline yourself. You have to get into a pattern. We're all creatures of habit, aren't we? We develop bad habits very easily. And we can develop good habits very easily too. But it's starting the habit that is the difficult thing. It's the commencing of it. It's discipline yourself. You know, discipline yourself. Do it. Try it for a few days, a few weeks. And it becomes a habit. It gets into a habit. And these priests, they are creatures of habit. Doing it every day. Whatever they did with the oil, whatever they did with the light, whatever they handled with the bread and all of this, it was a habit. It was a routine. And it was good. Nothing wrong with a routine and a habit. They disciplined themselves. Nothing interfered with it. They didn't want to be moved, as it were. Oh, I need to be moved to do this. You know, I need to feel like putting oil into the lamps. You can't wait till you feel. You must discipline yourself to do it. You don't wait for a warm heart or a big spirit or some zapping to get in occasionally. You have to do the routine. It's not a matter how you feel or what you feel. They made time and they did it. It was important and it had to be done. They came aside and they did it. So determine a fixed time. Now don't become legalistic and beat yourself up and think God is disappointed with you. Don't think God is standing over you with a big stick or that he has a time watch and he's timing you. God's not like that. No, don't become in bondage and legalistic. The Lord loves you. He's your heavenly Father. He's just delighted to see you come in. And if you feel cold in heart, tell him so. And if you need help, just tell him so. Be open with him and frank with God. He wants his children to be honest before him. But to come, to make the effort, to draw near, to enter in. So you don't have to have a perfect devotional mind and a heart that's burning and full. You know, there are very few times we really feel like that. But very often, whenever you just get in, it becomes like that. Not all the time. Sometimes it's a struggle, but don't get in bondage. You still need it. You need it. The times when you won't feel like it. The Lord knows we're just human, and he knows we're sinners, and he just wants us to make the time and to make the effort and to bow our heads and to be still and just to give him some time. Just you and the Lord. That's what he wants. So as I say, the Lord isn't ticking the boxes. And it's a kind of an exam. And if you fail, you get a slap. It's not like that. He's not giving you 1 to 10 for your effort. So don't get discouraged, child of God. Don't be legalistic. The Lord loves you, no matter how you feel. Don't let the devil say to you, God's disappointed with you. He's disappointed with your efforts. You might as well not bother your head. You might as well not train. That was a total failure. You might as well not go back into the closet. Don't let the devil say that to you. Just enter in. Just make the effort. Just seek the Lord. Just spend time with God. Maybe before everybody else gets up. I know you could have full houses and busy houses. Maybe when everybody else is in bed. Maybe you have to go out in the field. Maybe you have to go out into a shed. You know, the Lord had to make an effort, and he did. And you as priests unto God have to as well. So spend time. Spend time. You don't have to be Martin Luther. You know, 3 hours every day in the Word. The Lord knows your moms and dads and you're busy and you're making meals and you're doing the dishes and you're cleaning the house and you're going to meetings. And you have mouths to see to and legs to see to as well as your own. You've so much to do, and you have to sleep as well on top of that and find your rest and 1,000 other things in life. The Lord knows this. But get some time. Just so, even if it's a little time. That's the thing. However little, the Lord's not measuring it. He hasn't got a stopwatch. He just delights to see you. And he'll bless you. So, children, you make the effort. An important part of this quiet place and quiet time will be prayer. Prayer. The incense altar, you see, was in that place before the Lord. And the incense was rising in the holy place. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut the door, and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Pray. So prayer will be a part of it. You can't have a secret place and a quiet place without prayer. There has to be intimacy with God. Having an open heart with the Lord. Praising Him. Thanking Him. Telling Him of His greatness. Telling Him of your poverty of soul. And how you feel so much a failure. And how you feel your disappointment to yourself. And a disappointment to the Lord. And just confess your sins. And just be honest with God. And seek His cleansing and ask for His grace. And no pretense, no self-righteousness, no despair either, and no being disheartened or discouraged. Intimacy with God. Just be frank. In the quiet place, be honest with God. Acquaint thyself with Him. And so it is for you to know God and to strengthen your communion with God. That's why the quiet place exists. It's for your soul. For the good of your soul. And there is a place for intercession in that place as well. Towards the end perhaps. To pray for others and remember others. But to pray for yourself. Because you see, you're no good to others if you're distant from the Lord. And so you have to pray for yourself. It's for your own soul. It's for you. And so there must be this open heart. But there also must be a trusting heart. Go in with faith. Trust in the Lord's grace and in His kindness. Trusting that He welcomes you. It talks about being before the veil. Because every time they went in here, they saw the veil. That was the veil. And whenever you're in, you go through the veil. And you know, the veil gives us faith. It increases our faith. Because the veil's rent, you see. It wasn't rent for them, but it's rent for us. And you know how it was rent? It was rent at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ died. And that veil actually is Christ. It is Christ, the veil. The veil of his flesh. And it was rent in twain for us. For he died that he might open a door into the presence of God. And that's why we can come trusting. Because our Saviour has opened heaven's door. We see the veil. We see the broken body and the shed blood. We are not disheartened and we're not despairing. The humanity of Christ has been rent for us. So you're always, whenever you come to this quiet place, you're always thinking of Calvary, aren't you? You're always thinking of the access that you have by the blood into the presence of your Heavenly Father. And you don't have to have doubts and fears, but you can trust. You can believe. And if you have doubts and fears, you just look at the veil. You just look and see how it's been rent in two from the top to the bottom and how the Father's hand is in the sacrifice of Christ of Calvary for you so that you can go in and you don't have to fear. Yes, you see your heart. It's cold, it's dull, it's sometimes even dead when you go into the presence of God. But when you see the veil, when you see what Christ has done, you be revived. You be refreshed. As a place of reviving and quickening. So whenever you go in there, you make sure you see Christ and you use Christ and you go through Christ and be near the cross. Always be near Calvary in the quiet time. And that drives away Satan and that drives away doubts and that drives away all the discouragements. Think of your Saviour's love to you there. And it'll become a wonderful place. And Calvary love draws you in. It draws you near. And it keeps you from despairing about your feeble efforts and your cold devotion and your little time. As a father pitieth his children, never shooing them away with all their faults and failures, so the Lord pities them. I fear him. So it's not a place of bondage. It's a place of love. It's a place of acceptance. It's a good place. And as you enter into this place, there are helps. There's the lampstand and there's the table for you to sit at, and the lamps and the light stand to use so that you can have a quiet time with God. There was light for them to work with and to handle, and bread for them to arrange and to labour with and ultimately to feed upon. They had light and they had bread, lamps that burn because of the oil. And there's a pure candlestick. Whenever you come into the quiet place, there's a pure candlestick waiting there for you. It's the Bible. The Bible is the light of the world. The Bible is the light of the Christian. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But this word is light. And you have the word of God in the quiet place to illuminate your mind and to warm your heart. And so these priests, they had the pure oil of olive beaten, and they put it into the lamps and kept them burning. And this was before the veil of the testimony, and evening and morning, and never went out. Every day they had it continually. continually before the Lord. And boys and girls and young people, whenever you come alone into the quiet place, you can bring your Bible with you. Yes, bring your Bible with you, the sword of the Spirit, that which has the olive oil, the Spirit in it, and flowing through it, and coming out of the Spirit. The light of the Spirit is the light of the Word. And you can bring it with you into the quiet place. Or rather, a better illustration is, you go into the quiet place where the Word is. They didn't carry the candlestick and bring it into the quiet place. It was always there. So that they had to go to the Word in the quiet place. And whenever you go into the quiet place, you're going to the Word. You're not just bringing the Word with you. You're going to the Word. The Word is in that place. And so, it's the lamp unto my feet. And so you go to it, and you can read it and handle it. Now, you don't have to read all the Bible in the quiet place, all at one time, all at one point. You know, and you can read the Bible in other places. You can be reading the Bible casually like a book. You can be listening to it whenever you're walking in an audio format. Get the Bible into you by that means, in large chunks. But whenever you come into the quiet place, it's to come close to feel the heat of it. And to get a sharp ray of it into your heart. And you can't do that in large chunks. You have to sit quietly at a little bit. Text, maybe only one word, sitting at the ray of one word in the quiet place. And so you have to listen to the Word, a small portion, read over it, pray over it, pray it into your soul. It's what you need. You can sing a psalm or chant a psalm or whatever, but let the text get into you. Or maybe you read a larger portion and maybe something stands out. That's the thing to pray over. That's the thing to bring before the Lord. Because not only did the lamps illuminate them, but the lamps were a kind of thing that they brought before the Lord too. They were for the Lord too. And the Lord delights in us to bring His Word to Him, to bring it back to Him, to bring His promises to Him, or to bring His commandments and say, "Oh Lord, I need help to do these commandments. I find it so difficult. This is a difficult situation. I need Your help, Lord." But you're bringing it to Him. So bask in the rays of the Word of God. Maybe you write a wee journal, or write down some thoughts, or maybe you get a commentary and you use it too. Some effort. Just make the effort. And then the Word is like bread too, that feeds your soul. And you're at the pure table of God's Word in the quiet place. And you can eat. Now you don't eat all the loaves. No priest ever says, "Oh, those 12 loaves are for me and I'm going to eat them all in one sitting." You can't do that. Our minds and our hearts are not framed like that way. We can only eat crumb by crumb or bit by bit. But it's all there for you to partake of. So take your crumb from the pure table of the Lord in the quiet place and feed on it. It's for you. And this bread also was set before the Lord, pleading His promises and edifying your soul. You remember Job? "I have esteemed the words of his mouth as my necessary food." Jeremiah, "Thy words were found. I did eat them." We have to eat the Word. "I have meat to eat that ye know not of," Jesus said, didn't he? And he was talking about God's will. But how did he know God's will? Well, where did he get God's will from? His Father's will. He got it from the Word, like we do. "My meat. That's my bread." May it be our bread too. As newborn babes in the quiet place, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So congregation, be priests. and get into the pavilion with God and edify your soul and enjoy the Lord. Like David, what did David say? I will delight myself in thy statutes. You need it. You need it to glorify God. You need it to get good for your soul. You need it to be useful to others. You need it to defeat Satan. You need it to live a holy life. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And you can't do that in a quiet place. Meditating day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So this is why the quiet place is necessary. The public meetings, but the quiet place too. Every day. May the good Lord, your kind and gracious shepherd, may he help you in all your private devotions to him. And may it please him to use this sermon a little way in the help thereto. And to him be glory.